facts of life to rob us of the peace that the Prince of Peace offers to his people. In Philippians chapter 4, if you find that, please stand as a sign of reverence and honor for the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. The flower fades and the grass withers, but the word of our God abides forever. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Speak, Lord, a rhema word to our hearts. Speak, Lord, for people are listening to hear you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The key to peace is a thankful and grateful heart. There are three basic types of peace in the Bible. The peace of God that comes with salvation. It's Romans 5:1. It's the peace with God. It's a justifying peace, a reconciling peace, where you and God are no longer in opposition and hostility towards one another. Secondly, is the peace of God. That comes through total surrender to God in all things. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And then there's the peace on earth that will come when the Prince of Peace comes back to reign in glory and power. That's Isaiah 2, 1 through 4. So you have peace with God, you have the peace of God, and then you have peace on earth. The passage before us today deals with the peace of God that comes with total surrender to God in all of life's circumstances. It is the peace of God in times of trouble. It is the peace of God that overwhelms our worries, that arrests our anxiousness, that helps us to rest in the will of God, even when we cannot see what lies ahead. The key to having this kind of peace, a Rene peace, it lies in possessing a grateful heart, a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude instead of ingratitude. A heart that doesn't say, I deserve better. Why me, God? But a heart that says, God, not as I will, but your will be done. Oh, y'all talk to me this morning. Thanksgiving is a vital thing in the Old and New Testament. It's recorded mentioned 140 times. David spoke about it in Psalms 103, verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Heart of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Daniel practiced it. says he got down on his knees 3 times a day. And he prayed, and I love this, and he gave thanks before his God. He knew what they were. He knew the law was against them. But he got down on his knees, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Daniel demonstrates the power of giving thanks, even when you're in the midst of trials. Paul wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. God deserves, commands, and expects our gratitude, our thankfulness in all areas of life and at all times. What an expectation God has for his people. That when we're in between a rock and a hard place, we give thanks to God. Not for the condition, but for the one who can keep us in that condition. Not necessarily worshiping God for the problem, but serving a God he can use the problem for his glory and our good. The key to experiencing peace, mentioned in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, lies in possessing a thankful heart. It looks bad, Lord, but you're able. You can, and you will bring it together for your glory. So I want to give you some reasons why I believe this grateful heart thanksgiving is key to experiencing a reign of peace or shalom. The peace, Jesus said in John 14, 27, the peace I give to you, not as the world do I give you. Because the world's peace is based upon favorable conditions, favorable circumstances. But God's peace is greater than the temporal world. It is a spiritual peace, but it's also an eternal peace. It's a peace that will preserve and keep us as long as we're on this earth and as long as we transition from this earth to the next life. That peace is going to be with us because he himself is our peace. Here's the first reason. Peace comes when we look up in thanksgiving. When we look up in thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 6 references the anxieties of this life that all people experience. The word anxious means cares or worries. This word anxious also in its etymology, its origin, means to strangle to death. Worries can choke the life out of you. The word reminds us that sometimes the worries or cares of life can make thanksgiving challenging. We all go through those times. But when we take the time to stop in our struggles and look to God for his strength, we will discover that we have many reasons to give thanks. When you give God thanks in the midst of your trying circumstance, when your thinking is interrupted or distracted by worries, the heart or the attitude of gratitude is derailed. When we look up, we discover, point A, God is at work in your pain. That's what you discover if you just look up. Psalms 121, I will look unto the hills test and trial and tribulation. We got to keep a perspective that's eternal and spiritual, even though we live in the natural, in the earthly world. When we look up, we discover God is at work in our pain. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." What is his purpose? Well, if you read further, it tells you that you were predestined. But that he predestined you to be conformed to the image of Christ. Your purpose is to look more like Jesus in your trials. Your purpose is to look more and act more like Jesus in your trials. Your purpose is to be like Jesus in the midst of the storm. That's your purpose. To live like him in the midst of your pain. And you look at the life of Christ, how did he deal with life's problems? He prayed. He prayed to his Father. He got away in a secluded place, a place of solitude, and he had his spiritual catharsis. He released all that he felt to his Father in prayer. And then he walked in the peace that he is. Trusting the outcome, not with his prayer, but with his Father's will. This is our problem in America. We pray transactionally. If I pray, then I get. That's not biblical. Prayer is not a lucky charm. Prayer isn't some magical formula. Prayer isn't some rabbit's foot. Prayer is the means of communication with the eternal God. And the whole purpose of prayer is not for me to pray to him to get my will done here. The means of prayer for me to pray to him so that he can get his will done through me. That is the purpose of prayer. You can pray for anything and everything, but understand this, only what he willed will come to pass. Oh, I wish you could help me today. Beloved, God is at work in your pain. B, God is always present in your pain. One thing about pain, it makes you feel like you're alone or by yourself. No one understands, and no one cares. He does. He suffered in ways that we cannot suffer. And he enters into our suffering to give us a solace and a strength, mentally, emotionally, spiritual, to press through. Because he is in control. God is always present. Hebrews 13:5 said, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's his promise to you. We leave him all the time. He never leaves us. When we are faithless, he remains faithful still. Us is just an opportunity for God to do the miraculous, to do the impossible, because all things are possible with him. He's always present. See, God will provide in your pain both materially and spiritually. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need. That need may be relational. That need may be psychological. yes, God will use medicine. He'll use physicians. He'll use surgery. But who's the healer, really? God's the healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. God is always present with you in your pain. God invites us to bring our cares and worries and concerns to Him in prayer. Personal prayer, not just intercessory prayer. You need to develop your own prayer life, because prayer is your intimate interaction with the divine about the fallenness of your humanity, to help you in ways that no psychologist or psychiatrist can. Certain psychological and psychiatric issues, but beloved, it's not 100% cure. Go to God in prayer. He says in Philippians, "Do not say, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication." Prayer is a general. Supplication, we call it petition. That's personal prayer. That's when you, sure enough, get down on your knees. You prostrate before God. You lay your heart. You bare your soul before your Maker. And you say, God, you don't get fixed. And you don't fix it. It won't get better unless you. That's a heart of thanksgiving. It says, God, you are the source. You can work through any means, but you're the source of all the solutions. I bear my soul before you with prayer and petition. Hebrews 4:15-16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. But I love this next one. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, it's a boldness, confidence, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in faith to expect an answer to the prayers it offers. But James, in chapter 5, 16 and 17 says, the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous accomplishes much. And then verse 17 says, and we don't go here, but it says, Elijah, the prophet, was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on earth. Now, let's get some context of why that took place that way. Why this prayer was so powerful. Why was this prayer so effective? He's just like us. He's serving the same God we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Kings 17:1, it says, now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishba in Galilee and Gilead said to King Ahab, as the Lord the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall neither be dew nor rain these years except by my word. Well, how many years was he talking about? We just read in the New Testament, it was 3.5 years. You see that? Elijah prayed for no rain as a direct prophecy from God and a challenge to the worship of Baal. That was the Canaanite god of rain and fertility. This was a demonstration of the power of God of Israel over nature and calling the Israelites to repent of their idolatry. That's what this was about. The drought, beloved, was a way to show that God, not Baal, controlled the weather and could withhold rain as a consequence for their disobedience. Elijah prayed for rain, and his prayers answered. He saw that after those 3.5 years, he looked up and he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Didn't come out of it. But he was praying prior to that and doing that. And he prayed. And he believed that God would provide the rain. He did not wait until the rain came, but immediately proclaimed Paul said this to the church at Philippi. He says, don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But pray for everything. He never gave a real answer if what we do in prayer, if we don't get the outcome. He didn't give us a specific detailed answer that is going to be answered the way I prayed. What he gave us is a solution to all of that and the peace of God. I'm praying, and I'm away from that prayer, not getting what I want, but getting who I need. I need the peace of God. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses my understanding, will protect my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's what we need. See, God is always in the business of giving us what we need, even when we want something. He knows what we really need. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, there your answer is right there. The peace of God for what? To accept His will. To accept His outcomes. To accept His determinations. Oh, it's hard if you don't have His peace. If you have the peace of God guarding your heart and mind, then anything that comes from God is a blessing. Even a no is just as sweet as a yes. Come on, somebody. A no is just as sweet as a yes because it comes from the mouth of God. It is for God's glory. What I'm doing now. That's how the Heavenly Father deals with us. As we're His children. It may not look the way we want it to go now, but give us a few more years in this walk of faith. Give us a few more years walking by faith and not by sight. And we look back and we can see it all in retrospect. Trust Him in time. Don't doubt Him in time. Don't wait for the past to see what He's doing presently. Peace comes when we look ahead for thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 mentions anxiety and worry. Anxiety and worry flourish anytime there is doubt and fear. When you have doubt and fear, you will get anxiety and worry. That's an insecure state of being. When you have no security, and you're insecure, doubt and fear is automatic. We just don't know what tomorrow will bring. And that lack of knowledge fills us with fear over the unknown. Death cringes and cowers in fear over the disappointments, the losses, the troubles tomorrow may hold. Faith, however, welcomes the future with grateful optimism. Point A here. Faith looks to the future in a God who controls tomorrow. Oh, I thank God that He controls tomorrow. I'm glad man doesn't control tomorrow. I'm glad that God is in control of history, past, present, and future. Whatever occurs, it may be divine permission, but His divine will be accomplished. He controls our tomorrows. Romans 8:28 said He does. We know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, and those according to His purpose. He controls our tomorrows. Faith B knows the God who plans tomorrow. Isaiah 46:9-10 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is no other. I am God. There is none like me. That's powerful. He says,
the beginning. He's declaring the end at the beginning. That don't make no sense. But his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Ooh-wee, that's the kind of God we serve. That when he starts at the beginning, he ends it there. That's a God who is sovereign over time, over your time, over your days. Your life is in his. Ah, yes. And he can turn your life as he wills. And you can trust him. Why? Because he's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He said, I love you with tender mercies. I love that. His mercies are fresh and new every morning. That's the kind of God we serve. He declares the end from the beginning. Well, see, we start with the beginning and we work our way to the end. He says, I'm going to do it all right now. It's done. And he acts like it. And we need to act like it. And trust him. But God with me this morning. Faith knows the God who plans tomorrow. And he said, I'm declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times. Things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasures. See, faith knows the God who leads his people through all the tomorrows of life. Oh, I love that about God. He leads his people through all the tomorrows of life. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. How can faith be so hopeful when it looks ahead? Well, look at verse 8 of Philippians. Verse 8 tells us that faith focuses its attention on things that glorify God and on the things that lead the believers to a greater intimacy with God, a greater closeness to God. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, directs our minds and directs our inner person. Your peace is like an umpire. It calls strikes on the balls of our life. Because what's inside of us is what rules us. And we choose to let the peace of God rule and reign in our hearts, even in the midst of our trials. Whether it's the old year that we're in and the new year that we're anticipating, you're the same. Same power. You're still faithful. You're still holy. You're still sovereign. You're still omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. You're still infinite. You're still transcendent. You're still loving, gracious, true, and kind.